B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yumud Daf Yud Tes. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, nine lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Masruhu Ziknei Beis Din. In the previous Mishnah, we learned on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that Masru Loi, they gave to him, to this Kohen Gadol, Ziknei Beis Din, from the elders of the Beis Din, and the Mishnah told us what the elders of the Beis Din would do with the Kohen Gadol. The next point, the Masru Ziknei Beis Din, the elders of the Beis Din, gave over the care of the Kohen Gadol leZiknei Kohuna, to the elders of the Kohanim. Why? We'll see in the Gemara that these Kohanim would have to teach the Kohen Gadol how to do the Chafinas, how to take the Keteris, the handful of the Keteris, how that would be done. V'he'eluhu, and the Ziknei Kohuna would take the Kohen Gadol up Beis Avtinas, into the chamber of the Beis Avtinas, and over there, v'hishbi'uhu, they would make him make a vow to swear, v'niftur v'holchulem, and they would leave. V'omru loy, and the Kohenim would tell, that means the Ziknei Kohuna, the elders of the Kohenim, would tell the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, our master the Kohen Gadol, Onu Shluchei Beis Din, we're the agents of the Beis Din, V'ato Shlucheinu, and you're our agents, Ushliach Beis Din, and the agents of Beis Din. Mashbin Onu Alecha, you have to make a Shvua, a vow, B'mi Sheshochin Shmoi, B'Bayis Hazeh, in the name of Hashem, the one who rests his name, the Shechina, in this house, the Beis HaMikdash, Shloi Teshane Dova Mikol Ma She'omarnu Lecha, you're not going to change and deviate from any of the instructions that you've been taught and that we're going to tell you on how to do the avodah. Hu peiru shubaycha, the Kohen Gadol would move to the side and would cry. V'hein peiru shubaychin, and these elders would move to the side and they would also cry. And we'll see in the Gemara why. Im haya chacham, if this Kohen Gadol was a Talmud chacham, doirish, they would tell him to speak in Torah learning, in halacha, the entire night of Yom Kippur, in order that he should not fall asleep. As we've learned previously, somebody who's asleep is more susceptible to becoming Tomei of Tumas Keri. Ve'im lav, and if he's not a Talmud Chacham, however, he knows how to understand Torah and to listen to Halacha, he just doesn't know how to give a drasha, then Talmidei Chachomim Dorishim Lefonov, then other Talmidei Chachomim speak Torah in front of him to keep him awake. Ve'im rogi likreis, if the Kohen Gadol is rogil, if it's customary, he's used to reading from the Chumash, from Tanakh, Kaira, then he reads. Ve'im lav, and if not, Kaira Nefonov, then one reads to him. V'mer Kaira Nefonov, what do they read to him? Be'ioiv, u'be'ezra, u'be'divrei ha'yomim, which Rashi says these are the sforim, which are moishchen es alev l'shemon, it's something which keeps the person awake, he wants to hear what's happening, what's written, and that way he'll not be overcome by sleep. Zachariah ben Kvutal Oimir, Ba'amim Harbe, many times Korisi Lefonov, I was used to reading in front of the Kohen Gadol, but Daniel from the Sefer of Daniel. Says the Gemara at the top of your Testament Aleph, Tana we learnt in the Braisa, Lelamdoi Chafino. The reason that they would take the Kohen Gadol to the base of Tinas, that was the name of that chamber, was because that's where the Keteres was found, and they would teach the Kohen Gadol how to fill his hands with the Keteres, one of the avoides of Yom Kippur. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa says, Shtei lishkeis hoyu lo l'Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had two chambers that he would use that were at his disposal for that week before Yom Kippur. Achas lishkas haparhedrin. One was the lishkas haparhedrin that we learnt about at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, which is where the Kohen Gadol would sleep for that week. V'achas lishkas beis avtinas. And the other one was this chamber of Beis Avtinas, where the Kohen Gadol would learn how to do the Chafino, how he would do the Avodah of the Keteres. Achas b'tzofin, the Braisa says one of these two chambers was on the Tzofin side, v'achas b'dorim, one on the Dorim. Achas b'tzofin, one of them, how do we know that one of the Kohen Gadol's chambers were on the Tzofin, on the northern side of the Beis HaMikdosh? Titnan we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Midos. Vav sheish lishkos hayu ba'azara. In the Azara itself, there were six chambers. Gimel b'tzofin, three on the tzofin, v'gimel b'dorim, and three on the dorim side. Shebadorim, the three chambers on the dorim side of the Azara, was lishkas hamelach, It was the chamber where the salt was kept, Lishkas HaParvo and Lishkas HaMadichin. And now the Gemara, the Mishnah explains, Lishkas HaMelech, what was done in the Lishka called the Lishkas HaMelech, Sheshama Yunis Nimelech LeKorban, that's where the salt that was used for the Korbanis was put. Lishkas HaParvo, what was the Lishkas HaParvo for? That was Sheshama Yumilchin Oireis Kodshim, that's where they would salt the hides of the Korbanis. V'al Gago, and on the roof of this Lishkas HaParvo, there was a mikveh there, L'Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, for the Kohen Gadol, and it was only used on Yom Kippur. This was a mikveh that was in the Kodesh, it was in the Azara. And we'll soon see there's going to be another mikveh there, which is actually not inside the Azara proper, it's over the wall on the outside of the Azara, and that's also on the roof of a different chamber, which is where they would tovel when not specially Tvilas Yom Kippur. Tvilas Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, that was separate. We're still going to learn about that. And Lishkas HaMadichin, and the third of these three chambers on the Dorim side of the Azara was called the Lishkas HaMadichin. Shom Hoyu Madichin Kirvei Kodshim, that's where they would clean and rinse the innards of the Korbanos. And from that chamber, Mishom Masiba, there was a circular staircase that was going up, Oile Legag Beis HaParvo, that was going up to the roof of the Beis HaParvo that was just adjacent to it, and on the roof of the Beis HaParvo, we just said, there was a mikveh there. So they would go up onto the mikveh from a staircase that the staircase started in the Lishkas HaMadichin. Gimel Shebet Tzofin, there were three chambers on the Tzofin side of the Azara. One is Lishkas Ho'etz, and it seems that it's not a chamber where wood was actually stored there, because there was a different chamber for that. We saw there was one of the chambers in the Ezvis Noshim that was called Lishkas Ho'etzim. Here we have a Lishkas Ho'etzim in the Azara, and we'll soon discuss that. And then there was also the Lishkas HaGoyla, and there was the Lishkas HaGozis. Gozis means it was etched out of stone, but this was a famous Lishkas HaGozis. Let's see what they were for. Lishkas Ho'etz. This Lishka that was called the Chamber of Wood, for some reason, it's not clear why it was given that name. Omer Abeliezer ben Yaakov, Shachachti Ma'isom HaShameshes, I forgot what it was used for. Abba Shaul Omer, Abba Shaul says, Lishkas Kohen Gadol Ha'isom. That this was the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol. And here you see explicitly that there was a Lishka of the Kohen Gadol on the Tzofen side. Here we are, it's the Lishkas Ho'etz, which is called the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. And which was behind this Lishkas Kohen Gadol, or the Lishkas Ho'etz, was behind the other two chambers, namely the Lishkas HaGoyla and the Lishkas HaGozis. V'gag shloshtam shove, and they shared a single roof. The Lishkas Ho'etzim, Lishkas HaGozis, and Lishkas HaGoyla, they all shared the same roof. Lishkas HaGoyla, what was the Lishkas HaGoyla? Shom hoyo boir HaGoyla, that's where there was a pit for water that was made by those that came up from the exile, from Golus, Vagalgal Nos and Olav, and there's a wheel on top of it, and that to help them draw the water out, Umisham Hoyuma speak in Mayin, Lachol Azara, and that's how they would provide water for the whole Azara. And we already discussed this earlier on in Erevin. Lishkas HaGozis, what was the Lishkas HaGozis for? Shom Hoyso Sanhedrin Shal Yisrael Yeshevas, that's where the Sanhedrin were, and they would sit there, V'dono Es HaKoyanim, and they would judge and decide whether the Koyanim, whether any particular Koyan was kosher, was valid and fit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, or not. U'misha Nimtza Bo Yipsul, a Koyan that would come to the Lishkas HaGozis and would be found to be unfit to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, he would wear black clothes, umisatif shchayrim, and wrap himself in black clothes. V'yaitzav ha'ilichlei, would leave the Beis HaMikdash and go. V'shaloi nimtza bo yipsul, a kohen that's not found to be unfit, he was able to work in the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'yaloi v'shlevonim, he would wear white clothes, umisatif levonim, and wrap himself in white clothes. V'nichnas, and go into the Beis HaMikdash, umashamish imechav ha'kohenim, and serve there together with his other brethren, with the kohenim. So here we see explicitly that the Lishkas Ho'etz, which was one of the three chambers on the Tzofin side, was used, says Abba Shaul, was the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. So you see that one of the Lishkas, we don't yet know which one, We don't know if it was the base with Lishkas HaParedrin or that was Lishkas base of Tinais, but one of them was definitely on the Tzofin side. Achaz B'dorim, there was another chamber for the Kohen Gadol on the Dorim side. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, this time it's in Tomid, in Midois. The Mishnah says, Shiva Sha'orim Hoyu Ba'azora. There were seven gateways, seven openings into the Azora. Gimel B'tzofin, three on the Tzofin side. B'gimel B'dorim, three on the Dorim side. B'vechot B'mizrach, and one in the Mizrach. Shebedorim, what are the three openings into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azora from the Dorim side? One was called Shar Hadloka or Shar Hadelik. One was called Shein Iloi. The next one beyond it was called the Shar HaBechiris. It says Ba'as Shar HaKorban, but the Bach changes it to Shar HaBechiris. And the Shlishi Iloi, and the third one, was called Shar HaMaim. That's where the jug of water that was going to be used for Nisuch HaMaim over Sukkos was brought in from there. And Rashi says that on the Shar Hadloka and Shar HaKorban, he doesn't know why it was called, why they had those names. So those are the three gates, the three openings on the Dorim. So you see here, one of them was Shar HaMaim. Sheba Mizrach. On the Mizrach side, what were the three openings on what was the one opening on the Mizrach side? That was the Shar Nikonor, that big gate, that big opening between the Ezras Noshim and the Ezras Yisrael, the entrance into the Azora proper, that had an opening called Shar Nikonor. Ushtei Lishkois Hoyusham, within the Shar Nikonor, or just beyond, just adjacent to the Shar Nikonor, and we'll remember that there were 15 steps going up into the Ezras Yisrael, which was it had a height of 7.5 amos, and etched into this, next to the Shar Nikonor, there were two chambers there. Achas b'yaminoi v'achas b'smoilei, one on the right, one on the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchos, one of them was called Lishkas Pinchos HaMelabish. There was Pinchos, the one who would help the Kohen Gadol don his clothes, the eight clothes. V'achas Lishkas Oisei Chavitin, and the other one was the chamber where they would make the Chavitin, a type of Mincha. Sheba Tzofin, the entrances on the Tzofin side, there was Shar Nitzoitz. And the Shar Nitzos was a binyan achsadra hoya. It was like a structure, like a porch. It was covered over. It wasn't really walled in on all four sides, but it had a roofing. V'aliyah benuya loy al gabov. And there was an upper story on top of it, on top of the Shar Nitzos. V'sham kohanim shomrim milamalo. And the kohanim, they would guard the Beis HaMikdash standing on this upper story on top of the Shar Nitzos. And the Leviim milamata, and the Leviim would stand underneath the Shar HaNitzitz, just beyond the Shar HaNitzitz, or on the lower story of the Shar HaNitzitz. And here the Bach takes out the next three words, V'shelefnim himenu hachil. The Bach takes it out and puts in the words, U'pesach hoyeroi lechil. There was an exit from there to the chil. And the Mepharshim discuss what that means. Of course it was an exit to the chil. The chil was the area just beyond the wall of the Azora. Any entranceway going out from the Azora out is going to be to the chil. So there's a discussion in the Mepharshim what the Gemara is trying to teach us. But that was one of the entrances on the Tzofin, was the Shar HaNitzitz. Shein Iloi, another one, was called Shar HaKorban. And Shlish Iloi was Shar Beis HaMoikid. Is a Beis HaMoikid that we've already discussed a little bit. That was also one of the entrances into the Azora, was the Shar Beis HaMoikid. Betanya, we learned in the Braisa, Chomeish Tvilois Vasoro Kiddushin Toivil Kohen Gadol Umekadish Bei Bayom. During the duration of Yom Kippur, there were five times that the Kohen Gadol would go into the mikvah, and 10 times he would do Kiddush Yodayim Veraglayim. V'kulon b'kodesh, and all the tevilos were done in the mikveh on the top of the lishkas haparva, which was in the kodesh al gag beis haparva. Chutz mizu, besides, for the first one that the kohen gadol would do, which was nothing unique to Yom Kippur. Anytime any kohen wanted to come and serve in the Beis HaMikdash, he would first have to go to mikveh, and that would be the mikveh that was in chol shahoyisah b'chol. And where was that? Al gabe shar hamayim, We mentioned the Shar HaMayim, which was the entrance where this jug of water for the Nisach HaMayim was brought, and it happens to be that that same, on top of this entranceway called Shar HaMayim, there was also a mikveh there, in Chil. And that's where the Kohen Gadol would do the first tvila. So you see explicitly that the Shar HaMayim, that mikveh, was next to his lishka, next to the chamber of the Kohen Gadol. So here you see clearly that we've got a Shar HaMayim. Where was this Shar HaMayim? It was on the Dorim side. And we said that on top of the Shar HaMayim was the mikveh, and that was adjacent to his chamber. So you see from all this that there was a chamber on the Dorim side, and that's besides for the chamber on the Tzofen side, which we saw before was the Lishkas HaEitz on the Tzofen side. So we know that the Kohen had two chambers, one on Dorim, one on Tzofen. V'lo yodano, says the Gemara, we don't know, ilishkas parhedrin b'tzofen v'lishkas beis avtinus b'dorim, or ilishkas beis avtinus b'tzofen v'lishkas parhedrin b'dorim. We don't know which of the two chambers he used, one the lishkas haparhedrin to sleep in, and secondly the beis avtinus where he would learn about the Keteres. We don't know which one was on the Tzofen side and which one was on the Dorim side. And says the Gemara, mistabra, logic dictates, it's probable that the Lishkas Parhedrin Bedorim, the Lishkas HaParhedrin, which is where he slept, that was on the Dorim side, Bedorim Havoy. That means just adjacent to that mikveh that was Bechil. My Tama, why would you assume that? Because what would the Kohen Gadol do? What would this be his program of the day? Makdim, all those 7 days before Yom Kippur, he would wake up in the morning, Koi would stand, Umesach Hathraglov, which is the term used, he would release his bowels, he would excuse himself, v'tovil, and then he would go to mikveh. Any time that Kohen left the Beis HaMikdash to excuse himself, then he would have to go into the mikveh. But here it's the beginning of the day, in any case, that a Kohen would have to go to the mikveh, as any time a Kohen first comes into the Beis HaMikdash has to tovil, v'tovil. He would tovil there on the Dorim side where he woke up, because that's what we're saying, logic dictates that he was, the Lishkas HaParhedrin was on the Dorim. He would wake up, excuse himself, he would relieve himself, and then go into the mikveh, which is just adjacent to where he slept, on the Dorim. And then he would go to the other chamber. If the Lishkas HaParhedrin is in the Dorim, then the Lishkas Beis Avtinas is on the Tzofen. He would then go to the Tzofen side, and he would learn about the how to do the handful of the Keteres. And then he would come into the Beis HaMikdash, he would do the Avodah the whole day, as we saw before that in the week before Yom Kippur, we encouraged the Kohen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, to get used to doing the Avodah. Towards evening, they would sprinkle on him some of the water and the ashes of the Paraduma, and then he would go back to the Dorim, and as we saw before, since he was sprinkled upon with this water, he would become Tommy. He would have to go to the mikveh before nightfall. V'nayich, and then he would go to sleep in his lishka. That means he would go again to the mikveh, which is b'chol, because that whole week before, the whole week before Yom Kippur, he only ever went into the mikveh, in the mikveh which was in chol, which was on top of the Shar HaMayim. He would tovel, go back into that mikveh naich, and then he would go to the chamber just adjacent to it, and he would go to rest, he would go to sleep. So that's what would make sense. Di omrus lishkas parhedrin b'tzofen, because if you're going to say that the chamber where he slept was, which is the lishkas parhedrin, was on the tzofen, then what would he do? Makdim, he would wake, he would early in the day, koi, he would wake up, he would get up, umesach raglov, he would relieve himself, and then v'ozil ledorim would have to go all the way to the dorim side, V'tovil and tovil in the mikveh on top of the Shar HaMayim on the Dorim, v'gomar chafino, and then he would learn about the Keteres in the chamber adjacent to the Mayim, because as we said, if the Lishkas HaParhedrin is in the Tzofen, then the Lishkas Beis Avtinas is in the Dorim, v'osel Beis HaMikdash, and then he would come into the Beis HaMikdash, v'ovid avoda kula yoma, and he would serve there the whole day. Lahad the panya, towards evening, madu aleo, they would sprinkle on him from the water of Paraduma. V'hoda oz in the Dorim, he would have to go back to the Dorim to go to the mikveh v'tovil. Uboyim mahada romezel, have to go back and go back to the Tzofen, to the Lishkas HaParhedrin, umeinach, and to go to sleep. Does it make sense that when he gets up in the morning, he gets up on the tzofin, has to schlep all the way to the dorim to the mikveh, and then the evening again, after they sprinkled him on him, he goes to the dorim to the mikveh and schleps all the way back to the tzofin to go to sleep? That's a very big burden, a big tircha. It doesn't make sense they would have made the kohen do that. So we assume that the lishkas haparhedrin was on the dorim and the lishkas beis avtinas was on the tzofin. Says the Gemara, no. Why should we not bother him? We're very comfortable with the fact that we put him through this burden. Why? Because we want to discourage those kohanim gedolim who are not supposed to be kohanim gedolim from serving. We want to really make it tiresome for them. Because if indeed he's a tzduki, somebody who's a kofer, he doesn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, and we don't want him to be a kohen gadol, lifresh, then he'll just say, it's not for me, I'm not interested, which is what we want. So we make it that little bit difficult that only a real good tzaddik, a kohen gadol, will persevere and stick it out. A tzaduki will just give up. Inami, or another reason why they would have made the kohen have to go into all the effort of going backwards and forwards, shelo tazuach da'itei olav, they shouldn't become haughty and arrogant, I'm the kohen gadol. No, we make him go all the way around once and all the way around again. He couldn't go through the Azorot, discussed in the Mefarshim. He would have to go all the way around and go into all that effort just to keep him low profile in order that he should not become haughty and arrogant. Because if not that we have a good reason to actually cause him to have extra effort, hey, why didn't they actually make both chambers, the Beis Avtinas and the Lishkas HaParhedrin, put them together next to each other? Make a single chamber that was also had the keteres in it and also that he could sleep in it. And the fact that they didn't do that and one was on each side, we see that we did not have an issue with putting him through the extra effort, and therefore there's no proof to say that the Lishkas HaParhedrin was on the Dorim. It could well have been on the Tzofin and the Lishkas Beis Avtinas on the Dorim. And that's actually how the Rambam concludes, that the Parhedrin was on the Tzofin, sharing the roof with the Lishkas HaGozis and the Lishkas HaGoyla, and the Beis Avtinas, that was on an adjacent, not far from the Mikveh, that was on the Dorim site. Continues the Gemara. V'omru lei, these elders of the Kohanim would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol v'chulu. That what would they say? They would say to him that we are the agents of Beis Din, and you're the agents of us and the agents of Beis Din, and we insist and we're pointing you to do the Avodah on our behalf, on behalf of Beis Din, and behalf of us, the agents of Beis Din. Asks the Gemara, Lema tavat yufta de Ravuna b'Rav Yeshua. To be able to make a kohen gadol an agent on behalf of Beis Din, this seems to contradict what Ravuna b'Rav Yeshua says. Domer Ravuna b'Rav Yeshua, Hani kani kohenim shluchi de Rachmona, the agents of Hashem, ninu. Diyom Rasluche Didoninu, says Rabbi Huna Breda of Yeshua, because if the Kohanim would be agents of us when they're doing the Avodah and not agents of Hashem, Mi'ikum Midi, is there ever such a concept that Anan Le Matzinon Lemeva, that we are not able to do something with Shluche Didon and our agents, Motsu Avdi, they can do it? That there's no such thing. Being a shliach, being an agent, is only if I could do something, I can make an agent to do it on my behalf. If I can't do it, how can you be my agent? So, says the Gemara, here too, how could you tell the Kohen Gadol you're an agent for us to do the Yom Kippur Avodah? The Beis Din are not Kohanim Gedolim. They can't do the Avodah. How can the Kohen Gadol be on their behalf an agent? Says the Gemara, you're right. But there's no proof from here against Rav Huna b'Rav of Yeshua. Because when it says in the Mishnah that Ishi Kohen Gadol Onu Shluchei Beis Din V'ato Shlucheinu Shliach Beis Din, this doesn't mean that we are making you agents regarding actually doing the service, doing the Avodah. No, there's no such thing. What did they mean? They meant that the Shvua, the vow that you're making not to deviate, is that you're not going to deviate from the way we understand the halachas and the way we dictate the halachas. It's about it's our understanding, us as agents of Beis Din, and the Beis Din's understanding, which is what's binding, and you, Kohen Gadol, have to follow that. What the agents were actually telling the Kohen Gadol, Mashbi'in onu alecha, we make you make this shvua, al da'atenu v'al da'as beisdin, that you're going to follow and do that avoda according to our understanding and the understanding of beisdin. But not that they was making him an agent to actually do that avoda, because for that, he's not shliach of them. He's the Kohen Gadol. He does it because the Kohen Gadol does that avoda, not as an agent of the beisdin. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, who perish ubaicha, vein perish in ubaichin, v'chulei. Also the Kohen Gadol cries, and also those who made him make the shvua cry. Who perish ubaicha, why does he cry? Shechoshdu tziduki, because this Kohen, let's assume that he was a Kohen who was a tzaddik, and they accused him and they made him make the shvua. Why did you have to make this shvua? Maybe you're a tziduki, and make a shvua that you're not going to deviate. The tzidukim had a different way of doing the avodah, and it was improper, and it was wrong, it was false. To make sure he does it right, they made him make a shvua, and he cried that they actually suspected him of possibly belonging to the tzedukim. V'hein perishim aboichim, and they also cried. Why? Why did they cry? Domer b'yishua ben Levi kol achoshet b'ksherim, anyone who suspects a kosher person from being a not kosher person, loika begufoi, he gets punished, he gets hit on his body. And over here, the Kohen Gadol may have been a very kosher person, and they were told to suspect him of possibly being a tzeduki, and therefore making him make a shvua. So they cried as well. V'kol kach lomo, why did they go into this whole thing of making the Kohen Gadol make the shvua, and then he was upset that they were choshed him, and they had to be choshed b'ksherim? Why did they do that? Shelo yisakin mibachutz, because the tzedukim had the practice that they would actually prepare, they would put the k'tayres onto the coals outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, before going into the Kodesh Kedoshim, v'yikonis, and he would go in after he's already put the k'tayres on the coals. K'derech shatzidukim oisim, and that's how the tzidukim would do it. And to prevent him from doing that, they made him make a shvua. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, ma'ase b'tziduki echod, there was an incident with one tziduki, shehitzkin mibachutz v'hichnis. He actually prepared the k'tayres, he put the k'tayres onto the coals before going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and only then he went in v'ichnis. B'yitziyosu, when he came out, hoyos sameach simcha gadoila. This tzeduki who came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was very, very happy. Poka be'oviv, the father of this tzeduki, met his son who had just come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Omar lo and said to him, B'ni, my son, afal pi shetzedukim onu, even though we are tzedukim, and we believe that that's what the Torah wants you to do, Misyorim onu min ha-prushim, we're afraid of the Prushim. And the Prushim say that you have to put the k'tayres on the coals in the Kodesh Kedoshim, not before. Omar loy. So this tzeduki told his father, Kol yomai hoyisi mitztayir al mikra hazeh. My whole life I was mitztayir, I was pained, I was waiting to be able to fulfill this pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? Ki ba'onon eroi ala kapayres, that I'll only go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is where the kapayres was, the covering of the Orin, ba'onon, when there was smoke already there. Not that I would first go in and then create the smoke by putting the kapayres on the coals. Or Marti, and I would say to myself, Mosayovi liyodi, when will I have the opportunity, v'hakaymenu, that and I can actually keep this posuk. Achshav shebo liyodi, now that I've had an opportunity of keeping the posuk in the way us tzidukim think it should be read, because the tzedukim don't believe in the oral Torah, they just read the psukim and think that they can just face value, that's what the Torah meant. We know that's not true. We know that together with the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, was given an oral Torah, and the oral Torah tells us exactly how to do it. So he says that the tzeduki said, Lo ekamenu, and now that I have an opportunity of keeping the posuk, as us tzedukim think, I shouldn't do it. Omru, they said, Lo hoyu yomim mu'otim, it didn't take many days, achameis, until this son of this tzeduki, he died, v'hutal ba'ashba, and was thrown into the trash heap. V'ayu toiloin, and there were worms, yoytzin mechoytmoy, that was coming out of his nose. And Rashi here explains, why was the nose, so to speak, punished more than anything else? And he says it's because the nose was actually the first limb, the first part of a person's body to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. It's sticking out in front of a person, that was the first one to go in. And therefore, he got punished that way. And the Tosfos Yeshanim here says that he smelt shelo l'tzorech. There's different explanations why his nose was the one to be punished this way. V'yesh oimrim, others say that b'yitziyase, as you came out of the Kodesh Kodashim, not a while later, as you came out of the Kodesh Kodashim, nigef, you got hit. The Tanya Rabchia taught kamin koil nishma ba'azara, there was this voice, this sound that was heard from the Azara. Shebo malach came v'chov to'el ponov and hit him on his face. V'nichnasu echov ha'kohenim, and his brethren, the kohenim, went in to the Azara to see what was going on. U'motzei, they found kekaf regel egel, like the hoof of a rounded image, like the hoof of a calf, the bein ksefov between his shoulders. B'kitzer, you've seen that this angel, this malach, had come and hit him and killed him as he came out of the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Shenema, where do we see that the malachim, the angels, their feet are like the feet of the calves? It says in the Pasuk, Ragleim, the feet of the malachim, regel yeshara, they're straight. The kaf ragleim, and the soles of their feet, is kaf regel egel, is like the sole of the foot of a calf. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Zachariah ben Kavutel v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah that Zachariah ben Kavutel, he said that a number of times, many times, he read Sefer Daniel in front of the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, Omer of Zachariah ben Kavutel v'chulu, Masni lo Rav Chonon barova lechia barav kamei derav. How did they read this statement? Omer of Zachariah ben Kavutel, with a pay. His name wasn't Zachariah ben Kavutel, it was Zachariah ben Kavutel. Umachve lirav b'yodin, Rav made a sign with his hands that Kavutel, so to speak, he signed with his hands the letter base, not the letter pay. Says the Gemara of Neymar, why did he have to sign with his hands and why did he have to demonstrate with his hands that it's with a base? Why didn't you just say it's not Kavutel, it's Kavutel? Answers the Gemara, Krishma Avakari, who was in the middle of reading Kriyas Shema. If you're in the middle of reading Kriyas Shema, you cannot talk. You can sign with your hands. Asks the Gemara of Chiyai Gavna Mishari, in the middle of Kriyas Shema, you're allowed to sign with your hands and explain something and communicate with other people, even though you're not verbally saying anything. You're allowed to do that in the middle of Kriyas Shema. Somebody who's reading the Shema, lo yirmos be'enov, he shouldn't make any signs with his eyes, lo yikrit bisfosov, nor should he, with his lips, he shouldn't make any signs, v'lo yirei be'etzpoisov, nor should he point with his fingers. V'tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma Omer, the Braisa, HaKoyres Shema, if somebody does read the Shema, and whilst doing so, Meramiz be'enov, and he signs with his eyes, or Mekaretz bisfosov, or with his lips, or Marabetz boi, he shows something with his fingers, all of HaKosov Omer, against him the Pasuk says, V'loy oisi karoso Yaakov, ki yodgata b'Yisrael. And that's something which Hashem says, that's not the way to read Kriyas Shema. So how can you say here that the reason that Rav showed the Chachomim, or showed Rav Chonon bar Rova, that it was Kavutel, not Kavutel, was a sign with his hands, because he couldn't speak, because it was Kriyas Shema, if he was reading Kriyas Shema, he's not allowed to sign either. Says the Gemara Lo Ikashya, Hobe Perek Rishon, Hobe Perek Sheni, during the first Perek, indeed, you're not allowed to make any signs, whilst reading the second parak, it's more lenient, and we discussed this more at length in Maseches Brachos Daf Tezayin. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, V'dibarta bom. The Pasuk in Shema says, V'shinantom levonecho, you should teach Torah to your children. V'dibarta bom, you should speak words of Torah. When? B'shivtecho b'visecho, when sitting in your homes. V'lechtecho v'aderech, when you're going on the way. V'shachbecho, when you arise. V'shachbecho, when you go to sleep. V'kumecho, when you arise. So what does the Gemara say? The Braisa says, "V'dibarta bom," that to verbally express and speak out loud, "V'dibarta" is only bom. In speaking divrei Torah, it's very important that you should hear what you're saying. You should verbalize you should hear the words of Torah coming out of your mouth. Bom v'loy b'tfila, but that's only with Torah. When it comes to davening Shmoneh Esrei, it should be quietly. We learn this on the pasuk v'koila lo yishma. And we learned this in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, amongst other places. V'dibarta bom. What else do we learn from the word v'dibarta bom? That you should speak bom divrei Torah. Bom yesh lecha roshus ledaber. You have permission to speak words of Torah. V'loi b'dvarim achirim. But you don't have permission to speak anything else. Some take this very seriously and say that it's an issa to speak anything besides for Torah. Rashi here famously says, and it is brought in the Magen Avraham and Simon Kuf Nun Vav, and the Pesukim bring this, that the words which are also to say are sichas hayilodim mekalus roish, which means inappropriate words. When you're speaking inappropriate words, you've transgressed this issa. Rabbi Acha Omer, v'dibarta bom. What does it mean, v'dibarta bom? It means asei oison keva. They should be fixed. It should be the main focus of your day. This should be what you're doing. V'al ta'asom arai, but don't make it arai like temporary. Yeah, when I've got time here and there, you'll learn some Torah. No. When it comes to Torah, it has to be fixed. Omar Rava. Rava says, asoch sichas chulin. If somebody speaks idle chatter, oivir ba'asei, he's transgressed the asei. Shenemar, as it says, v'dibarta bom. Bom v'loi b'dvarim achirim. And as we said before, Rashi explains that the main part of this Isser is by speaking things which he's not allowed to speak. Rav Acha by Yaakov Omar, over Belav, he's also transgressed a Lav, something that not only did you go against the mitzvah haseh of speaking words of Torah, you went against this Avera Shenemra, it says in the Pasuk in Kaheles, Kol Hadvarim Yegeim, all words which are superfluous. Loi yuchal ish ledaber, a person does not have permission to speak them. Continues the next Mishnah. Bikesh lisnamnim, if they saw that the Kohen Gadol was going to doze off on the night of Yom Kippur, then pirchei kohuna, then the youth, the young Kohanim, they would makin lefonov, they would snap with their fingers, be'etzba tzrodo. That means with a finger which is a rival to another finger. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. We're going to see it's the thumb, which is a rival, that means it's just adjacent to the index finger, then he would snap, using these two fingers, they would snap on their hands and make a sound, and that would keep him awake. And that's called etzba tzrodo. V'omrim loy, and they would say to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, our master the Kohen Gadol, Amoid, stand up and go for a walk. V'hofik achas ala ritzba. And do something on the floor, we'll soon see what this means, that's going to dispel this wave of tiredness. They would occupy him until it was time to shech the korban tomid in the morning, and that would be the start of the Yom Kippur Avodah that would take the entire day. Says the Gemara, Mai tzrodo. It says, Makin lefonov in the Mishnah, be'etzba tzrodo. They would snap in front of him using the finger called tzrodo. What's tzrodo? Omer v'yuda, tzrodo is a word which is made of two words. Tzarosa d'do. It's the rival of a different finger. That's the one that they would snap with. Mayhi, what finger is that? Gudl, it's the thumb. That was the finger adjacent to the thumb. That's what they're called, that's called a tzrodo. And with that, they would snap on their hands, and they would keep the Kohen Gadol awake. Machvir Rav Huna demonstrated how they would use their index finger to make this sound. V'ozal kol, and the sound reverberated b'kula be'rav, in the whole Beis Medrash, everybody heard it. That's how loud it was. Continues the Gemara. V'omrim lo ishi kohen gadol hofeg achas al haritzpa v'chulu. What does it mean? You should dispel your tiredness with achas, one on the floor. What does that mean? Omer v'yitzchok, ol chadas. Chadas means do something unique, do something strange, something unusual, a unique procedure. Mahi, what would that be? It means they would tell him to do something on the floor, and it was something which is unique, and that would keep him awake. Omrilei, they said, ach v'kido, show us a kido, which is a type of bowing down, where a person would actually double over from his waist down with his mouth touching the floor all the way down while he would be supported on his thumbs. And that was something which the Gemara in Sukkah discusses more at length in Daf Nun Gimel, and not many people couldn't do this, not very many people could do it, that's why it's called Chadas, and it's a unique procedure, and this, if he would do that, it would keep him awake. Continues the Gemara, Uma'asikin oisoi, and they would occupy the Kohen Gadol, Achi Giazman Shchita, until it was time to start the day's Avoida with the Shchita. Tona, Lohoyu Ma'asikin oisoi, they would not occupy him and keep him awake, Loi b'nevel, not with a new music instrument called a nevel, v'loi b'kinner, nor with a harp, elo b'peh, with their mouths, they would sing to the Kohen Gadol. Maho, or they would use their mouths to say things to the Kohen Gadol and keep him awake. Maho yu'imrim, what would they say to the Kohen Gadol? They would say the following pasuk, Im Hashem lo yivne bayis, if Hashem doesn't build the home, shav omru boin of boy, in vain have those who built it toiled to build it. And they would, then this was a message to him, be careful tomorrow. When you're doing the Yom Kippur Avodah, make sure it's l'shem shemaim, that Hashem should accept it, because if Hashem's not going to accept it, everything you do is in vain. Continues the Gemara, that miyakirei Yerushalayim, the prominent people of Yerushalayim, loho yosheinim kol alayla, they would not go to sleep the whole night of the night of Yom Kippur, kedei sheyishma kol kohen gadol kol avara, in order that the kohen gadol should hear their sounds, their voices, and it would keep him awake. V'lo tehei sheina chitvasa, in order that sleep should not overcome him. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, b'shol oimir, af begvulin, even not in Yerushalayim, even outside Yerushalayim, hoyo oisim came, they would do that, that the prominent people would stay awake. Why? Zeich lemigdosh, to remind them of what was going on, what used to go on in the Beis HaMikdosh, to remind them that in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, the Yekirei Yerushalayim would stay up in order to keep the Kohen Gadol awake, they would stay up the whole night of Yom Kippur. Elo, however, there was one place where the fact that people stayed up all night, it wasn't obviously just the prominent people, there was also the laymen, and all sorts of simple people, and possibly bad people, they stayed up Yom Kippur night, and they actually came to Averis because of that. Omar Abaya, and Abaya is now going to explain what you're talking about. When did what happened in Yom Kippur? Where was this? What was this? What are you referring to? So Abaya said, "V'itaymer of Nachman Bayitzchok, Tirgama Narda." That what that means is that it was referring to the city called Narda. Domele Eliyahu Rav Yehuda, Achvader of Salah Chasida. Eliyahu said to Rav Yehuda, "Amritu, you're used to wondering and asking, Amai le'asa Mashiach? Why is Mashiach not come?" Well, v'ha idna, says Eliyahu, it's now Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur ho, v'iv el kama psulta b'narada, and in Narada, people were engaged in doing in immorality and inappropriate behaviors. Omale, so Yehuda said to Eliyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'imir, what's Hashem's response to that sort of behavior on Yom Kippur? Omale, so Eliyahu answered back to Yehuda, lePesach chatos roivetz, that the Yetzahara is almost forcing, is pushing them to do these averas. Rashi says, Yetzahara machti'oi bal korchi. The Satan, my Omer, what's the Satan? What's he got to say about those averas? Omale Eliyahu said, Satan b'yemid t'kippura, the Satan and Yom Kippur, lesli rushus lastune, he's got no permission to prosecute Klal Yisrael. Mimai, where do we learn this from? Omer Omi Barachoma, he said it's the word ha-Satan is begmatria, is the numerical value of tlasme of a shitin v'arba, hava. Is 364. Klasme of a shitin v'arba yoyma, only 364 days, isli rushusa listune, he's got permission to prosecute. B'yema tikipura, however, on Yom Kippur, lesli rushusa listune, he has no permission to prosecute. Klan Yisrael, and even though those serious averas were happening in Narada on the night of Yom Kippur, nonetheless, the Sultan did not have any permission or power to prosecute Klan Yisrael. And Yemiritz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.